welcome to Happy Foot, Sad Foot. What a fucking match. We see your comments. This isn't a podcast about LAFC, the best fucking team in Major League Soccer. I'm Travis Helwig.
I'm Darren Miller.
What an unbelievable dream the last
what
week
a game.
Has been.
Another goal party.
I'm not used to the team being good. Not our team, obviously, but I'm not used to being a fan of a team that is good. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I grew up with teams that were bad.
It's a real joy.
It's so fun.
It's crazy. Micah Gutierrez in the comments agrees. Boy, that was fun. Leonardo says, what a match. Andrew Bauer says, free Baskin Robbins, free Chick-fil-A, free soda, and free goals for all the new kids. I couldn't agree more. What a fucking game. Like, truly, both when we played in Costa Rica and this game, I tweeted in the first 10 minutes, like, things aren't looking great for the black and gold. I'm dumb, is what I'm learning.
You had one call tonight. You were on the wheel on the Twitter tonight. I don't know if anybody was following along on Twitter with us, but you like to go for it on calls, which I love. Two things happened on Twitter tonight that I thought were fun. One is you called the Butte. You were so confident about Stipe.
I said I felt it in my bones.
You were so confident, and I was like, oh, I hope that doesn't butt him in the ass.
And
let me just say,
I've never seen a goal that is less a goal than what Stipe Butte scored tonight. Truly, like,
he was on Twitter. He was like, oh, okay, I'll do it for him.
He really needs this.
And the other thing was, you said you had to take your dog out. As soon as you took your dog out, we started having like, first there was another goal, and then like, I don't know, like, maybe 10 shots on goal while you were gone.
it was very just joyful. Just want to remind everybody too, if you want to call in and join us, tell us your thoughts on the match. Pinned at the top of the chat is a link where you can join us. Hop on, tell us your happy foot and sad foot of the game. The happy foot, of course, the thing you're most happy about that you saw, and your sad foot, which is going to be even more difficult tonight than it's been. Do you want to go first with a happy foot or a sad foot? I can go if you want.
Sure. I've got a few of each. Yeah, agree. It was hard to find the sad feet.
Yeah.
I'll start with the biggest one for me was the Tillman coming out party. The happy foot. The biggest happy foot I have is the Tillman coming out that occurred tonight. Tillman was like, don't worry, I'm good enough to be here. And that was great.
It was fun to watch. Somebody, you know, you get new players in and you're like, you assume the worst, you know, Sifu's going to go in the summer, maybe even on a free, we might even get no money for him. And you're like, oh fuck. Once he's gone, what are we going to do? Tillman played so well, so confidently. I think he nutmegged two different people tonight and then scored an unbelievable goal. Just truly. I want to be cradled by Timothy Tillman. I'm in good hands.
Yeah, it was good. And then they took Ilya out, and I was like, well, now without him to lean on, it might be even harder. I think the goal came after that, didn't it? Maybe not.
I don't remember. That's sort of the game's a blur. I know what happened.
After you 50 minutes in. Are we becoming a second half team?
Sorry, Micah Gutierrez in the comment said happy foot was Tillman's goal. Sad foot was Blessing's error that led to the Tillman goal.
That's a very good happy foot, sad foot combo. I love that.
There was a part of my brain that was like, is he a double agent? Does he know what he's doing? Because it was such a fucking bad. It wasn't even a pass. He just got his fucking pocket picked. And like, I wrote down for sad foot that Blessing didn't hit his coach with a steel chair and then take off his jersey to reveal an LAFC jersey. But he sort of did with that Tillman goal.
That's as close as you're going to get. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Andrew again says the Butte train is leaving the station. Choo choo, motherfuckers. We were on Thursday on that train. Darren, are you on the Michael Stipe of the LAFC Stipe Butte train?
Yeah, I'm on the Stipe Butte train. I'm trying to get on the Michael Stipe train.
No, everybody, you don't get it, Darren. Everyone here, loves no, this nickname I've
Travis,
been doing.
I'm here to support you 100%, no matter what. Unconditional. It's going to work eventually.
The more I say it, the more it'll become it. A thing,
no,
right?
You know what? He's had like his like small touches. And you know, I thought this was true of Tillman too tonight. Like the small moves were really sharp, I thought were the little turns and the footwork was looking really nice. There were some Buchet had a really nice like needle thread pass in the box pretty early on that I thought was great. There's little moments like that that come out and you're just like, okay, like they didn't have that doesn't show that like they're great always or anything or super dependable or whatever it is, but it shows that like they didn't have to do something that good in that moment. So that's a really good sign, I think.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I wasn't super happy with his game, even though I'm on the choo-choo motherfucker Stipe Buch train.
Sure, sure.
But he, you know, it just feels like the touches are a little bit off, and they've consistently been like a little bit off. And Doug said that at our very first post game, my friend Doug, he was like, he seems like he needs more reps with the team. He just like is constantly missing just a little bit. And I think that the goal at the end of the game might really help him find his confidence, because I think he really wanted that first one.
To be fair, Tillman was doing that a little bit too. Not everybody in the Happy Footstep text thread was feeling him.
Yeah.
Which I think is fair. I think they both, there was a lot of good moments, but they also were both like figuring, you could see them kind of like figuring things out, which is also good.
Yeah. Leonardo in the chat shares my sad foot that I was going to say, which was Ryan Hollingshead coming off hurt. At first, it looked like maybe it was something with his face and it wasn't it like maybe his jaw or something. But then he was holding his ribs, and a broken rib is a really fucking hard injury to deal with, and one that takes a long time to come back from. So that's we got to pray that Ryan Hollingshead's
I mean, a broken isn't jaw bad. Isn't great either.
Yeah, but you can play soccer with a broken jaw. You can't play soccer with a broken rib. I don't know.
Went down hard.
I mean, that he got fucking flipped over. It was like a hockey check.
Yeah.
Michael KB agreed with what you said earlier while I was talking over you, which is we spent all last season being a second half team. It's a testament to Chundo's in-game coaching ability. I don't know if that's a typo or if you meant to write Chundo, which sounds like the name of a Neopet.
I feel like I've heard that before. I feel like I've heard Chundo as
really?
A nickname
I've
for
heard,
him.
I've heard like Dolo, but Chundo doesn't. Chundo does sound
Chundo's
like
better.
A Pokemon, you know?
Yeah.
People are saying it could be a lung. People are saying a collapsed lung is 1 to 2 weeks. A collapsed lung is you're in the hospital. A collapsed lung,
hey guys,
I think is
everyone in the comments, can we start throwing out some options that aren't fucking terrible, please? Just like 1 or 2.
Hey, maybe he was just like a little tired and he wanted to take a nap.
Oh yeah, okay. Well, could be some of these terrible things, but maybe that also. That's nice.
Rancho,
when he didn't come in until like 2 minutes before then. I'm tired.
Rancho says, big fan of the podcast. It's my first year as an MLS fan coming from a World Cup year. You guys are, he compliments us. I'm not going to read that out loud. Thank you for listening. Kellen,
thank you so much.
From the Happy Foot Sad Foot chat, who we referenced a few weeks ago or maybe last week. So impressive considering the rotation. Love the second gear we hit once starters came on. We killed so many games in 2022 like this. Darren's missing once again, so I'm going to fucking take over, baby. It's the Travis Show
I'm
now.
Still here. You can still hear me.
Okay.
My camera's just, I'm back. Okay. The hug.
Yeah. Kellen also said it could just be that the wind got knocked out of him. It really was. Okay. But the first thing that Kellen said, I think is right. Like, that was an impressive win because we played our second string. Like, that was not our starting lineup. And the New England Revolution have been playing so well. I expected us that to almost be a trap game for us. You know, like, we don't care about the Eastern Conference that much. I don't think we're gunning for the supporters shield. Let's just see what happens. And we won 4-0. We've scored 3 goals in all 3 games we've played since we've started competitive soccer this year.
Yeah. I mean, who's to say we're not going for supporters shield? Why don't we go for all of it? You know,
at this point, we're going to win somehow the UEFA Champions League. Somehow we're going to come out of this. My Messi prediction doesn't look so fucking crazy now.
Maybe Bonga is Messi. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, your mic sounds a little bit off since you went off the mic. I don't know if something changed, but yeah, you know me, I'm going to assume the worst. Bawanga.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. You're back.
Yeah.
Bawanga is when you, like, I've watched a lot of MLS this year because of the Apple TV deal, which I can't say enough positive things about, but he just looks better than everyone else in the league. He looks like he doesn't belong. I mean, our team looks like we don't fucking belong in this league, to be honest. And I know that's an annoying thing to say, and that clip could be used to humiliate me in the future, but it just, like, we went into Costa Rica 48 hours ago and dominated in one of the toughest fucking stadiums on two continents. And then 48 hours later, beat a team that hadn't been scored on yet 4-0. Like, unbelievable from our squad.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy milking this and eating it up now. Who knows what's going to happen next week, the week after, the rest of the season. Seasons have ups and downs for sure. I feel fine just enjoying this while this exists and not feeling like, oh, we looked so stupid when we enjoyed those good things happening. If everything falls to shit later,
yeah,
that's a season of a sport.
I also want to say
it's all good. Let's have fun.
My real sad foot for this game is that Petrovic is an unbelievable fucking goalkeeper. We could have scored so many more goals this game if he didn't make like three of the best saves I've seen in a long time.
That was
really incredible goalkeeping.
I wasn't sure. That's not even like it was so. It was still so enjoyable to watch, even though it was our opponent. I was thinking of, I had that as like, it doesn't feel like quite. It felt weird to call that a sad foot. I was thinking of introducing a third category, maybe called athlete's foot, for things that are like neither. It's just like a hat tip.
Yeah. That's a great, athlete's foot goes to Petrovic. And I'm so happy for Stipe. My happy foot was going to be the Tillman goal, but that's been covered. Stipe scoring what was the least pretty goal I've ever seen. But I really do think that will help his confidence and maybe those touches will start to be cleaner. He's doing a lot on the ball right now, but he's also, you know, 13 years old or whatever. Like, I think it'll come. And our front line looks, you know, when they make we don't need a nine right now. Our front line is like rotating constantly, changing positions. It's really hard to defend.
Puanga just has endless energy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what it is. Like, he can make positions work. He can make whatever the shape is work as he can change it on a dime.
Rancho is coming for you, Darren. He says his happy foot, or she, I don't know. Rancho, I think of Rango the lizard, and so I associate Rancho with a man.
Was Rango a man? We don't know.
I think so.
I mean, we know. Yeah, the character.
Yeah, was he played by Johnny Depp? In my mind, Rango was played by Johnny Depp, whether or not that's real or just a fever dream. Rancho says, happy foot, glad we can stay competitive in both MLS and CONCACAF simultaneously, which is true, but I will say we'll get harder as time goes on and we play more and more games and get tired. And their sad foot is his fiance just applied for a job in Massachusetts, which is the saddest foot one can imagine.
Oh, man. Come on. Come on. We're in Massachusetts. Let's talk about it. I'll give you recommendations. Come on. This will be fun.
Jeffrey Reiner says Michael Stipe, 3 Grammys, 1 MLS goal. He'll get there. He'll get there.
Does this deserve to work?
This is what I've learned.
Give it to us if we earn it, but don't if we don't. Okay, I think that should be the rule.
But the problem is, I'm not gonna stop. So they either have to get on board or stop listening to the fucking podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Get on board if we earn it, and if we don't earn it, don't. If you can't listen, I mean, that's our problem.
just want to remind you all, if you want to hop on to chat with us with your voice or video, there's a link in the chat. No pressure, but it's available. A bunch of people in the comments, which is great.
This is super fun.
Jacob Contreras says, I'm now making all my life decisions with rock, paper, scissors, which was so funny.
That was
on my
happy foot list. You know what? I want to make a meal of that, actually. Can I do that?
Go for it.
I think that was more than just a fun little thing. I think that speaks to, like, a team having that kind of camaraderie and feeling comfortable with themselves and just like having fun. That's like the feeling that they were getting at, a feeling that you see in like any championship team in any sport.
Yeah.
Whenever you see any team win a championship, you can tell like they're having a great time off the field and it bleeds onto the field and vice versa in a way that like that characterized. And I just, sure, it's a fun little thing, but I really felt like that was huge when I saw that. I was like, that is so awesome that they're doing that.
What was so fun about it too is that it allowed them to turn their brains off in that moment, and then Bouanga came inches from scoring an unbelievable goal.
He fucking drilled.
It was
honestly, it was crazy. It was a good tactic. It's a good tactic. If I'm like rock paper scissors with my friend to get the kick, and now I'm like, oh, I can't let my friend down. Like, I can't. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah. Oh, I got this chance. Like, I can't be an asshole and like blow it when I just like rock paper scissors for it. It's like stronger than any motivation to win the game.
That what you just said makes me think of something that I wrote down as a happy foot for the game, which is that Opoku seems so happy at all times. He's having such fun out there, and he's doing it in a way that it just like comes from confidence, and it's probably confidence from winning a championship. The team, but like, you know, we heard for weeks from MLS commentators that the Philadelphia Union are the favorites this year because they didn't lose anyone. LAFC lost important players. Who knows if they can do it all at once? Go to fucking hell, MLS.com.
Name them.
I mean, it was all of them. Philly was number one. I mean, especially on extra time, which people love dunking on. It's been fun dunking on Matt Doyle for calling Bouanga Kevin Cabral from the Galaxy. The amount of people who talk shit about Bouanga the first few weeks after his signing and now have to eat their shit constantly or have to eat their shit, have to eat shit. I mean, maybe I don't know whose shit they're eating. They're eating shit.
Yeah, let's get into it. Let's get into the details of this. Let's explore this metaphor.
It just feels good to be a fan of a team that seems to really like each other, is having so much fun and believes in one another. And that's something that I think is missing from Stipe sometimes like he's trying to prove himself to the rest of the squad really hard. And I'm hoping that goal allows him to take a load off and be on the same wavelength as everyone else. Cause I haven't seen that from him the first few
years. That's all the new guys. That's any new guys. That's like, that's the thing. It's like, if we can still win, it's so good. The upside of having to rotate so much is that these guys get reps in and our bench just becomes so much stronger and we manufacture depth that way.
Oh, Kirk Kinsey, our fellow podcaster, has joined, wants to hop on.
Let's do it. Hello and welcome. Well, my mouse, still called a mouse. My trackpad is escaping me. Here we go. Hello, Kirk. Welcome.
Kirk, how are you? In a long time no see.
Yeah, I'm good, guys. Can you guys hear me okay?
We can hear you great.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, I've never recorded this way, so.
You have such a good radio voice, and I've thought this listening to you. First of all, for listeners at home, tell us who you are in your podcast, which I'm a very big fan of.
My name's Kirk Kinsey. I co-host the Counter Press podcast with Josh Cacho.
So you guys are very good at tactics, very good at understanding the parts of the game that Darren and I are truly idiots on.
We're starting to build a good track record for getting people to come on the podcast and fill that blank in for us. This is great.
Kirk, tell us what you saw. Do you have any happy foots or sad foots? How did you feel?
Man, I was pumped watching this match. Josh and I are typically pretty slow to draw any conclusions. We want to see a couple games, but I don't know how you can't be pumped after watching this team play a couple times. And tonight was just the same. I mean, rotations happened, but God, Tim Tillman looks like the absolute real deal. I think he could be a starter by the end of the season if he continues like this. I thought the front three struggled at first, but it's probably just a factor of Opoku and Buke being young, and then Bouanga still not being the out and out leader on the team. So, but I mean, once Vela came in, it was just over.
I mean, I felt similarly early in the match watching. I was like, there was I tweeted that we looked a little shaky to start, which I then made fun of myself for saying. But like a couple games in a row now, we've felt a little bit weird right at the beginning. It takes a little rhythm to get into it. But yeah, I mean, you know, I haven't had that much fun watching a game. Like, that did not feel like the Portland game. And the Revolution were supposed to be a better team than the Portland Timbers.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, we could get into it a little bit. we really did. It was a tale of two halves a little bit.
Yeah.
We're becoming a second. We used to throw it away in the second half. Maybe that's been a couple of years since that happened. But
Toronto does that instead. It's great. Yeah. From afar.
Someone's got to do it. It's a hot potato. Yeah. It was like, maybe we should talk about that a little bit. It was a little iffy in the beginning with the defense. It just felt like we were like very soft and
for sure.
They were just kind of going right through us a little bit. I was like, what's going on here?
So this is a matchup.
Yeah.
The 4-4-2 diamond against a 4-3-3, like a classic 4-3-3, is one that I really like to watch. I love watching this matchup because it essentially sets you up man for man across the board. So if you just flip over a 4-3-3 in possession, it looks like a 4-4-2 diamond.
Oh, interesting.
And so when you press out of that, again, you go man for man. So I think that's where they kind of struggled. And again, with rotations, you're not knowing who to trust passing wise. If you notice, they're not going to pass to Aaron Long a lot when they're trying to build out. That's just not his game. It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, some of his passes look shaky too, coming out of the back.
So you're building out through one center back, right? And you have Diego Palencia over there, who's from Spain. He's going to be fine in possession. So I think it was just guys getting to know each other a little bit, and then once they were able to break through that, it's I don't want to say man to man marking because it's not what it is, but that it's similar to that, right? So once they're able to break through that, it's just balls to the wall. Can I say stuff like that on this show?
No, get the fuck off this show.
Don't there fucking swear on this show.
It'll be nice to let loose a little bit. Keep it buttoned up.
Quickly, Kirk, you have some fans in the chat. Michael said, yes, Kirk is the smartest tactic guy in the LAFC fandom. Jeffrey said, love Kirk. It. Jacob said, in a good way, Kirk looks higher than the 420 originals. Kirk, got anything to admit to us right now?
No, I am a very straight edge guy. I grew up Mormon, so I'm still completely straight edge. I survived the Marine Corps without all that, so here I am still.
You made it. You made it.
I need to come on this show more often. These guys are awesome.
Yeah. Jeffrey says this is the most positive Kirk has ever been, which you're in good company. I'm a very negative person, so it's good to hear that you are as well.
Since we're not on my show, Josh and I have a very, you guys probably, if you're on Twitter, you saw our little meme about, you know, if you're a contrarian or a cheerleader or whatever. And so Josh and I hold this like editorial line where we want to be contrarian. We want to make sure that somebody's holding that line, not only for LAFC, but especially for the league, because we just think MLS has a lot of problems. So we do, that is a conscious decision on our part to be more critical.
Yeah, I mean, that is something Darren and I talked about when we started this podcast, of like, there does feel like there is a need to defend your team in the league because we want people to be involved. So we are like, it has to be perfect. But it's like, that's not what being a fan is. We can be critical. I mean, Darren loves to talk about how disgusting our green kits are.
I can't stand it. It's a real problem. It was such a relief to go up against the only kits that I've seen worse than the green LAFC.
I don't mind them. I kind of disagree with you, man. I don't mind those kits. Adam Conover is in our group chat.
It's a good bit, but I've started to warm up to them a little bit. They're not that bad.
What is going on this show?
I was one of Adam's writers back in the day, but Adam Conover is in our group chat about LAFC, and he pointed out that it looks like the logo for United Healthcare has been photoshopped over the jersey because they didn't get rid of the border of their United Healthcare, which would have been a very easy thing to do, but whatever. You know, we can't all have beautiful green mucus kits.
I think they should have gone with olive drab shorts, to be honest with those kits. That would have been better.
But I do
they
think
they look like pajamas. So
yeah, I don't think you're wrong. The green on our kits, green's my favorite color. You picked the one bad fucking green possible. You're in the Marines. Did the Marines wear green?
Yeah, I mean, but it's olive drab. So this is like my motif, right?
Yeah.
I got it. Okay.
I'm just going through some of my notes. I noticed Palencia running up. This is something that Vince pointed out last week with those crosses where Hollingshead would sprint up really fucking far. And I noticed Palencia doing that too. Kirk, is that something that you think is like a conscious tactic choice from our right backs to get that far up?
Absolutely. So when teams are attacking from a positional play system like LAFC more or less employs, you want to attack the five vertical channels, right? So you have the wings on either side.
It's you're so smart. This is insane.
No, I'm sick. I have a problem is what I'm getting at here. So you attack five channels, right? You have wings on the side, you have half spaces, which most everybody's familiar with, and then the central channel, which is right in front of goal. And so what LAFC like to do a lot is play with inverted wingers that play in those half spaces. That's Carlos Vela, right? He cuts in on that left foot and makes people pay. And Bawanga does the same thing from the opposite side on his right foot. So what you're seeing is them tuck into those half spaces, and typically everybody goes with them. And so then you send your right back down the right wing. Yeah. So like then you're filling all five vertical channels, and against a back four, you're going to have a main advantage, right?
Even just doing this podcast for a few weeks, it's been very fun to learn those sorts of the language of that even has been really interesting, because I played fucking soccer my whole life and the coaches didn't talk this way. You know, I mean, maybe it's not something a coach says, but like, and I was a goalie, so I tuned out a lot of it, but like, it's been fun to learn a lot of this stuff. Oh, Mario is asking you to turn up your mic a little bit, Kirk. Is that possible?
Yeah, we can turn it up a bit. Is that any better there?
Oh, that went down. Too. Oh, there we go. That's better.
All right.
I want to see if I have any other notes of shit that we need to talk about, because we like to keep it short here. Go ahead,
Dan. I have another sort of sad foot. I wrote down, I don't love... Vela just kind of like doesn't work as a super sub for me. Like he just kind of came out cold and stayed cold.
He was just
kind of hanging out on the field. He had two chances on goal that he just kind of like could have been a lot more aggressive. I thought, I don't know. It just didn't feel like it was really him out there.
It feels wrong to ever criticize him. You know, it doesn't feel right, but I do agree that like, I think Carlos's best, what he does now best is finds passes for his teammates while he pulls the gravity of the defense in a different direction.
Yeah, yeah.
And so like him being out there fucks with everyone. I mean, we scored more goals with him out there than we did without him out there. You know, or that's not true. It's the same amount, but you know what I mean? It just was like I agree though, that point blank miss felt disheartening when it happened.
Yeah,
I kind of disagree with that. To be honest,
oh hell yeah,
let's do it.
The miss
first
is fine.
Take, baby.
Like, the miss is
Smith.
Yeah, it's kind of soul crushing, right? But I when he comes in, I think he adds a different level of playmaking ability on the wing there. And so like the best example of this, I think, is when Bawanga's playing on the left wing and Carlos runs onto the ball and little outside of the boot first time pass, it bends it right around all the defenders and it falls to Bawanga's feet. So those are the kind of things that you see from him. But I think you're probably right, Darren. It's like, it's going to take him a while to like find the shots and find the rhythm. And I mean, he hasn't seen that keeper for the entire game. So I do think you're right in that case where he's probably not going to be as effective in front of goal like that, but definitely going to give you a different look to get to the goal.
Now, Darren, fucking destroy Kirk.
Come back. Disagreeing.
No, I agree with all that.
Here's what I have to say. You both are fucking stupid.
Absolutely. I don't know why anybody listens, to be honest.
Is there another take on Vela, Travis?
David Day is telling people to click the like button. I don't know enough about YouTube, but I guess that's important.
Oh, yeah. Click the like button. Subscribe to YouTube. Subscribe to the podcast. Yeah.
And if you're in the
money, I don't know.
We don't have a way for them to do that. If anyone in the chat wants to send in some more happy foots and sad foots, I see some new faces in here too. So that would be great to see. But it's been such a, you know, I don't want to take away as we start to get in the nitty gritty of critiquing things of how much fun that was to watch. Like a fan, it was like joyful. And I would say maybe the first 15, 20 minutes, I felt like maybe the Revs had our number a little bit. Maybe we were playing more conservatively. And the moment we scored that PK, what was it? Minute 14, things just changed. We felt in control from that moment on. And it never felt scary again. Even only up 1-0, it felt less scary than the end of the Portland game. It felt I don't know. I'm just not used to feeling comfortable with the team. It, what I'm learning about myself is that I need to go to a doctor.
No, I think Kirk, it was so helpful to have you break down really what was behind the fact that they did just finally break through and figure out the other side. And like, when you explained that really did click for me, that it was just like, okay, we're through, we're in now.
Sometimes it takes a little
party.
It takes a little while. Yeah, and it absolutely turned into a party. It was a great match. My kids were jumping up and down on the couch, and I mean, it was awesome.
Micah in the comments points out that now with the game in hand, we're tied on goal differential with Seattle, who we play next up in Seattle, I believe. I mean, we have the game against Costa Rica on Wednesday at home, and then we fly to a difficult match in Seattle. But you know,
a lot of games.
We have a lot of games. Seattle's a good team. They just are coming off a loss in Cincinnati. But I weirdly am not. I'm not nervous in the way that I was going into the Revolution game. The Revolution were on a roll. They hadn't been scored on, and we fucking scored on them. Their goal differential went from +4 to 0 tonight, which is wild.
Yeah,
I think it's pretty clear that the only reason people don't score is because of Petrovic. That kid,
I was just about to say the same thing.
Phenomenal.
You still get it. We still get a sense of why they hadn't been scored on yet. That was
so good.
Kirk, you're smarter than us. How did you feel about Aaron Long in general? Because Chiellini is my favorite.
Go for the jugular now.
Yeah, I mean, Chiellini is my favorite player, I think, now on LAFC. I've decided. And Aaron Long is not Giorgio Chiellini. And so I'm curious, when you watched him out there, how you felt. He didn't do anything explicitly bad, but he just didn't provide the level of stability that I'm used to. So I'm curious what you saw and what you were thinking.
So Josh and I have kind of famously been really hard on Aaron Long ever since he won Defender of the Year back in the day. He's fine 1v1. I thought tonight he looked really good against Bobby Wood. The level of physicality that he showed, just pissing off Bobby Wood. Everything was shoulder to shoulder, grabbing his jersey, and Bobby Wood couldn't do anything against him. So I mean,
didn't hear his name all game.
No. And I mean, subbed off. He was one of the first subs that they made. So I mean, in that respect, that's all you need from him, right? The other thing that Long does exceptionally well is he plays so well in the air. Looking at Seattle, I have to go back and look at how many goals they've scored on aerial crosses, but they've like Roldan and Morris are just living at the back post and scoring headers, like free headers. And that's not going to happen if they go with Long and Murillo against them, which they probably will, because I imagine it'll be Chiellini and Murillo against Alajuelense.
Yeah, Alajuelense. I tried last week and I fucked it up.
We're not going to do it anymore.
I imagine it'll go back to Chiellini down in Costa Rica or against the Costa Rica team, right?
There you go.
And then when Seattle comes or when we go to Seattle, it'll probably be Long resting his legs, especially on turf in Seattle.
That's
I don't think you want to see Giorgio, but
Seattle. I think we
on that one. The Sounders. We're playing the Sounders.
I
definitely feel like, it makes me excited that we played our best players in Champions League, because that means we're fucking going for it. Yeah. And then we're going to play our second string against an Eastern Conference team that the game sort of, especially now with the playoff expansion, really, I don't give a shit as a fan if we win the Supporter Shield again. It would be really rad to win the Champions League. And I care about MLS Cup in MLS. So it was, I'm excited.
Kool-Aid.
Yeah, I'm in.
You drank
I'm
the
in.
Kool-Aid.
Yeah, this feels like, I feel like I've said everything I want to say. This feels like a good place to wrap it up. Darren, how are you feeling?
Pretty good. I'll bring it back to like how fun it was to watch, to bring it back to the premise of this whole podcast. It's like, if you're not watching this team, come start watching this team. It's just really fun. I don't know what you're waiting for. This is the way in. It's a great way to watch.
Anyone who doubted us as the best team in the league, eat my asshole, because we are without a doubt. Like, we just look better than every other team we play against.
Also, it's hard to argue. I want to throw a shout out to the 3252, who was, as always, but I don't know if everybody always says it out loud, just like brought it so hard all game. It was like they were so loud. Maybe they have good mics on them for the Apple TV deal, but like, I just heard them so. It was like I was there. I heard it was all game. It was great.
It was better this week than against Portland. I thought they were a little quiet against Portland, and they sounded great tonight. Kirk, any other thoughts before we head out?
No, thanks for letting me crash the party.
Literally, so whenever you want to come, you're always welcome.
Yeah, I mean, well, so we're lucky because Josh is driving home from the stadium right now, so we can't record for like another half hour. So,
perfect. So we're stealing your good stuff.
We'll take advantage.
Yeah,
of that.
Absolutely. You guys get the first takes. Yeah.
Well, look, thank you everybody for tuning in. We're going to try to do this after every game, so keep subscribe on YouTube and please subscribe to the podcast. It's been so fun watching the numbers grow and get to know some of you. So thank you everyone for listening to Happy Foot Sad Foot. We're going to keep winning. We're not going to lose a game for the next 40 years, and I can say that pretty confidently. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
You guys too.
That was to you specifically, Kirk. I love you.
Oh, I know.